Well, good evening, everybody. I'd rather be here than the finest voting booth in all the land, amen? Or the biggest political rally in the world, right? Because here's the good thing. I know the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the King of Kings. Tonight, I just want to jump into this because Pastor came to all of us pastors and said, I want you to just speak what God has placed on your heart. And I don't know if you're sensing what I'm sensing, but I'm standing over there, and during worship, my heart is beating 100 miles per hour. I'm so excited about what God is doing here at Grace Assembly of God. I really believe that we are on the verge of revival. I really believe that something, hear me out here, listen to me now. I really feel that something is about to explode in this room. Because are we in the last days? I don't know, but the way things look, it looks like we are. And the way the Bible says, God says, I have a last day remnant who's going to make a stand in these last days. It's going to show the world who is the Lord, right? And I don't know about you, I want to be a part of that remnant. Let me just start out here before we jump into the scriptures here. Over these last 2 years, you just see what God is doing in our midst. This is my 11th year here at Grace. And over the last 2 years, I really feel, for me personally, now don't look down on me here, but I really feel that my prayer life has grown like never before. I feel like the teaching from our pastor, the times of prayer that we come in here, I feel like I'm learning how to pray, okay? So let me just put this out there. You should try out a Tuesday morning prayer or a Saturday morning prayer or a Sunday morning prayer. Because here's what I just wanted you to feel. I really feel what God is teaching me over these years of ministry. Let me just say this. I'm a pastor's kid. I've been raised in church my whole life. As a matter of fact, I like to tell people I was in church 9 months before I was born, okay? I've been in church my whole life. And I'm realizing as I get older and as I walk on this journey and as we're surrounded by godly pastors that we have on staff and godly people that are doing amazing things, I'm realizing it's the small things that God works in and not the huge things. God is working in the spiritual disciplines of prayer and Bible study. I don't know if you have noticed this, that our pastor is really trying to get us a balance to stay in God's word, reading the one-year Bible, and coming to prayer, worship, all these things. But it's becoming alive to me, and I'm realizing that it's the small things. But as you know, in this Christian life, it's so easy for us as followers of Christ, it's so easy for us, and many of you have been in church for a long time, many of you know that there's a lot of people, they want to come to church to be seen, or they want all of Jesus, but they don't want to give him all of them. Okay, let me just say it this way. A lot of people want to be a chandelier so they can be seen by everybody, but no one wants to be a nightlight that lights the hallway. Let me explain this. You see, a chandelier is something that is seen by everybody. But the problem with a chandelier is the light is on it, right? Light on light. And Jesus says in the scripture that we are the light in the darkness, right? And so how many know no one thinks about a nightlight until you have to get up in the middle of the night and you can't see where you're going? You see, God called us to be light in darkness. And let me just start off here by challenging everyone in this room. If all your friends are Christians, I feel sorry for you because light can't shine in light. What I'm trying to say is God called us to shine in darkness. And listen, I've seen many of your Facebook feeds this week. I'm not getting on anybody because, you know, I'm right there with you. But here's the deal. I don't care if it's Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, God is still in control. And we can come into God's house knowing that in these last days, God is going to reveal himself like never before. And it's in the small things. Listen, it's in the small things, if we are faithful to him, that's when we will make the biggest difference. Because when people are walking around not knowing where to go and they're in darkness and they can't figure it out, there's a nightlight called you and I that will be there that will guide them where they need to go. So here's the greatest thing. No matter what may happen in this world, God is in full control. But tonight, it's the small things that God wants us to be faithful in. Now, how many know prayer is not a small thing? But to many, it is. Because it takes work and we don't want to do it, right? Here's the thing. So many people come in and say, well, I'm too good for that. But let me tell you this. If you're too big to do the small things, you're too small to do the big things. Let me say it again. If you're too big to do the small things, you're too small to do the big things. Let me just encourage you. Here we are. Pastor said, preach what's on your heart. I said, oh, okay. Some of us have to get away from this thing of, look at me. Some of us have to get away from, this is what I'm best at, but this is where God needs me. It's time to step up in these last days. It's time to go forward and be all that God has called us to be. And those areas that God is calling us into is prayer. It's fasting, it's reading God's word, it's evangelizing, it's doing the spiritual disciplines, not always standing upon the stage and saying, look at what I can do. Praise God for that. That has its place. But here's the thing. God needs you and I to be light in the darkness. And so tonight, what God has placed in my heart is this. I want to talk to you tonight about the tremendous power of a cry. Now listen to me. In Psalms 107, I want you to turn your papers to Psalms 107. Let's read these scriptures. I'm gonna read quite a few verses here, but it's imperative that I do. Listen to this. The Bible says in verse 1, give thanks to the Lord, for he's what? He's good, and his love endures forever. Can we just stop there on that for just a few moments? His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe. Those he gathered from lands from east and west, from north and south. Now notice what verse 4 says. Some wandered in deserts, wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. But notice what verse 6 says. Verse 6 says, then they cried out to the Lord, where? In their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies what? The thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Verse 10, some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains. Because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled and there was no one to help. But notice what verse 13 says. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. And what did he do, everyone? He saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and utter darkness, broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. Are y'all with me? Verse 18 says, they loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. But notice what verse 19 says. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And what did the scripture say? He saved them from their distress. He sent his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Verse 21, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Verse 22, let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell his works with songs of joy. Some went out to the sea in ships. They were merchants on mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up the tempest and lifted the high waves. They mounted up to heaven and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their what? Wit's end. But notice what verse 28 says. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them where? Out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea he hushed. They were glad when it grew calm. He guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. And if you agree with what the scripture says, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's pray real quick. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this opportunity to stand before your people. Lord Jesus, I humble myself and I give myself to you, and I ask you, Lord, to speak through me tonight. For Lord, I really believe what you have placed in my heart to say to these people, God, it's going to transform what we're going to do as we move forward into the unknown. So God, let your name be glorified and may you be praised today. In Jesus' name I pray, and everybody said, amen. How many know that we live in a world today that many say that there's power in money? How many know it's good to have money, right? Money's not a bad thing. It becomes bad when you start loving it more than anything else, right? Some say that there is power in education. We all know the statement, there's power in knowledge, right? It's good to know things. It's great. Some of the world says that there's power in position. It's good to have position. It's good to be able to make decisions that can help others. The world says that there's power in military might. How many are thankful that we have an American army and a military that takes care of our country? Amen. But tonight, I want to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that there's more power in a cry than all these things that the world says that there's power. You ready to go on with me this journey? In our text that we read in Psalms 107, we see four groups of people. These four groups of people are, number one, the wanderers. How many know in the day and time that we live, there's a lot of people wandering around trying to figure life out? They're trying to figure life out without God. They're trying to figure out their marriage without God. They're trying to figure out their children's situations. They're trying to figure out our country. They're trying to figure out why this is happening. They're trying to figure all these stuff out. But here's the thing. If you don't have God, you're going to continue to wander around because you don't have the answer. The answer is Jesus, period. The second group of people that we see are the rebellious. They're the ones, the scripture says, they heard the words of God, but because of their rebellious living, they're in affliction. There's a lot of people tonight that's going to lay their heads down, and they cannot sleep because they are suffering from rebellion. They're in addictions, they're in situations, their marriages are crumbling. They're in situations because they were rebellious to what God said. Are y'all with me? The third group of people are fools. How many know there's a lot of fools in the world? It's amazing as I sit here and Pastor Wayne and his sermons show these videos of these teenagers and these kids trying to figure out life, and they have no idea what they're talking about, right? The sad thing is the Bible says they're fools. They're fools when they don't have the word of God. But the next group are those at their wits' end. How many's ever been at your wits' end? How many of you parents have been at your wits' end with your kids? Yeah, they're at their wits' end. But here's the thing I want to tell you. Each group was not saved by their own strength. Their deliverance had nothing to do with who they were, what they did, or where they were at. Their deliverance came from what? Does anybody remember what we read through those scriptures? Their deliverance came from a cry to the Lord. The Bible says when they cried out to the Lord delivered them from their situations. Are y'all with me tonight? These four people, when they cried out to the Lord delivered them. Let me just put a little bump here. Let me just stop here for a second. Are you listening to what pastor's teaching us about counter the culture? What did Daniel do? Everything Daniel went through, there was one thing he did in his life. The priority number one of his life was he prayed to God, right? He called upon the name of the Lord. And through every situation, God was there to do the impossible. God was there to provide miracles because he took the time to call upon a God that he knew that was able to take him through, to take care of him from all kings of this world. Are y'all with me? The Bible says in Psalm 62, verse 11, this is not on your notes, but you can scribble this down. The Bible says in Psalm 62, verse 11, power belongs to God. I want you to know tonight that whenever you cry out to God, it allows any of us, everybody say any of us, no matter who we are, to plug into and release a power that comes from God into our lives. I know tomorrow night we're going to come and pray, but we can start right now by crying out to God who has all power, who has all kings in his hands, who owns the cattle of a thousand hills, who owns the world. He knows everything that's going on, and he holds it in the palm of his hands. Listen, okay, it looks like I'm gonna have to bring this to the next level. You ready for this? How many of you know what the greatest power in the world is? Does anybody know? That's a baby. How many know a baby has power? You bring one of them little babies home from the hospital, everything changes. Come on now, moms, right? It's amazing. You can take a little baby into a store and you let that little baby cry. Something happens in that store. You forget about what you're doing and you find out what's going on. Right? I don't care if you're a CEO or working the cash register. You bring a baby home, the baby's going to change your life. It's so amazing about a baby, right? They can't talk to you, but you let that baby cry, they control everything. So that's why I say they have all the power in the world. Because no matter where you take them, no matter where they're at, when they cry out, something happens. Are you with me? Let me ask you this question. What do you think God does when he hears the cry from the soul of a man and a woman that loves him? He comes to the rescue. We see it in Psalms 107. Tonight, I want to show you the power of a cry. Let me just take this a little step further. When the children of Israel were in Egypt, they were in bondage under a cruel, captivating hand of Pharaoh. The children of Israel, they begin to cry out for a deliverer. So God began to make preparations for deliverance from the hand of Pharaoh. And what do you think God started out with to deliver the children of Israel? No, he didn't start with a great commander. He didn't start with a great soldier. You know what he started with? He started with a little baby named Moses. Let me show you this. In Exodus chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was fine child, she hid him for how many months? 3 months. But when she could not hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it, put it among reeds among the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe. Her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. And look what the scripture says. She opened it, saw the baby, and what was he doing? He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This is one of the Hebrew babies, she said. Well, let me show you what the King James Version says. In verse 6, it says, "And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrew children.'" Here's what I want you to understand. God started deliverance from the hand of Pharaoh by the cry of a baby. As soon as they opened the ark, the baby began to cry, and compassion filled their heart. And from that day forward, Pharaoh raised, educated, cultured his own defeat. How smart is the devil? How smart is the devil? He comes after us. He beats us down. But he don't understand. All I got to do is call upon the name of the Lord, and deliverance comes my way. Oh, my goodness. Pharaoh raised his own defeat. You see, the devil's not as smart as he thinks he is he? Through prayer, God has given each of us a power that moves the hand, that moves the world. Jeremiah 33, verse 3 says, "Call upon me, and I will answer thee. I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not." How many want God to show you great and mighty things in your life? I want to tell you there's power in a cry. Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you're finding yourself in a battle with the devil. Maybe you're here and you're finding yourself in the classifications of people that we read about in Psalms 107. Maybe you're here tonight and you're fearful about the direction of this country or what's going to happen. Listen, can you cry? Can you cry? Here's what I want to tell you. It's time to stop being major league warriors and minor league prayer warriors. We have too many major league warriors and whiners that come into the church, but we're only minor league in prayer. It's time to change that tonight. It's time to move to the next level. And one of the things I feel that God is placing in my heart, it's time for the church to cry again. It's time for us to stand up and cry out to a God who is able to deliver us from the hand of the devil, who's able to set us free, who's able to do above and beyond what we can think or imagine. Too many of us are being pushed around and punched by the devil when he's already been defeated. His teeth has already been knocked out. We have already got victory. It's time to rise up as the church of God. Listen to me, I'm just going to put a challenge. Every one of you need to be here tomorrow night. We've got to pray for our nation, not because of everything that's going on. We need to pray for revival to come into this nation because Jesus Christ came and died for all men to be saved. He died for every color, every race, every person. It's time to stop sitting in our seats, doing as little as possible. It's time we move into the next level and say, "God, I want all you have for me. Let's go after it, God. Let me do the big things." And God's saying, "Well, then do the small things. Pray, fast, read your Bible, tell others about Jesus, invite them to church." Listen, we are in the best times of Grace Assembly of God's history. It's time we become involved in what's happening in Grace. It's time we get involved and say, "Pastor, we're going to counter the culture. We're going to bring lost people to this church. We're going to see lost people get saved. We're not going to whine anymore about this type of music or that type of music. We're going to get real with God. We're going to stop being minor league and get into majors and be all God that has for us." I'm not too good to serve in the parking lot. I'm not too good to serve in preschool nursery. Listen, we've got to get involved. We got to get on fire for God. Everywhere we serve in His church, it's affecting somebody because we're allowing them to come into the house of God, the worship center, and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ being preached. You know, we go back to Moses. The Bible says that she could only hide Moses for so long. Let me tell you something, parents. You're going to only hold your and hide your kids for so long. You got to release them. You got to release them. But here's the good thing. Can you cry out upon the name of the Lord that God will take care of them? Of course. All right, let's take this a deeper level. You ready to go deeper? In Mark chapter 10, Pastor Wayne preached this at the beginning of the year, and it really stood out to me, and I wanted to put it back in here. The Bible says in Mark 10, verse 46, then they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples, together with a what? A large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. What was he doing? Begging. Do you realize we live in a world of lots of blind spiritual people? They're begging for someone to come by. They're begging for someone to show them hope. They're begging for someone to invite them to church. They're begging for someone to stand up in the gap and make a difference for them. They're begging. But notice this. The Bible says Jesus and his disciples were together in a large crowd. Everybody say large crowd. Now get this picture in your head. They're leaving the city. Verse 47 says, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, what did he begin to do? He began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. I love what verse 48 says. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But guess what he did? He got louder. Listen, we're at Wednesday night, so I'm just going to just have fun here a little bit. Here's what it would be like coming to church. Hey, excuse me, I'm blind Bartimaeus. I'm coming through. I won't step on your coffee. Pastor Wayne starts preaching about counter the culture, about how awesome God is and how Daniel's being taken care of. And all of a sudden, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. What would we do today? Hey, dude, you need to be quiet. You're embarrassing me. I'm going to scoot down here. Guy's crazy. What's wrong with him? Be quiet. He got louder. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Dude, be quiet. No one wants to hear you. You've been sitting out here all these times. Shut up, man. Be quiet. But here's the thing we all need to understand. Blind Bartimaeus had nothing to lose. You see, I want to tell you something. God does not respond to needs, but he does respond to cries. Some of you need to stop worrying about what other people think of you. Some of you need to stop worrying about the time and all these things. Here's the thing I want you to understand. When you're at your wit's end, when you're at your point where you can't get out yourself, there's nothing else to turn to. You've got to turn to a God that can do above and beyond what you can think or imagine. Some of you need to start getting crazy and saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Some of you are in situations and God is waiting for you to cry out. You know, this is one thing I love about Pastor Wayne that I've learned about Pastor. When you come to prayer services, you don't be quiet. He did tell us that one time he sent you home if that happened. Was that right, Pastor Wayne? Just one time. But you know what? It makes so much sense. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Can you imagine if we lived life like we do in prayer? You know what I'm saying? No. Sorry, I'm sweaty. I'm sorry. If we acted like we do in our prayer life, we wouldn't have anything. How many of you know? How many's ever here? Come on, be honest. You've had to ask somebody to help you. It could have been anything. You had to ask for something. So what did you have to do? You had to open your mouth and say it, didn't you? And God the Father, yes, he knows what you're thinking. But here's the thing. He's waiting for you to open your mouth. The Bible says, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. What he's waiting for you is to say something to him, to tell him what you have need of so that he can prove himself on your behalf. Now let's get back to blind Bartimaeus. We can't forget about him. He's still screaming. He might lose his voice. The Bible says he shouted louder. You see, when you have nothing else, when there's nothing else to hold on to, when you get a bill in the mail and you don't have the money to pay for it, or something happens in your relationship with your husband or your wife, or a child tells you that they're going to go do what they want to do and not listen to you anymore. When you come to those points, you can't go to what Dr. Phil says. You've got to turn to God and say, God, you promised in your word. So that tells me you got to know his word. Are you reading it? Listen, you got to know what his word says and then call upon the name of the Lord and say, Lord, you can do above and beyond what I can ever do. Dr. Phil, you gave him his knowledge, but I need you. I don't need this person over here. I need you. I don't need this money. I need you. And God, I call you to save me. Some of you got to stand up and open your mouth and say, Lord, I'm claiming my healing in the name of Jesus. I'm claiming my marriage in the name of Jesus. I'm claiming my child to be saved and brought back in the name of Jesus. I'm claiming that God will provide for my needs and my financial situation will be taken care of. But look what this says. I love what verse 49 says. I love the Bible. The Bible says Jesus stopped. Jesus stopped. Say it with me. Jesus stopped. The Bible went on and says this. And he said, call him. So they called the blind man. Cheer up, on your feet. He's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet. And what did he do? He came to Jesus. Now notice what Jesus says here. What do you want me to do for you? Come on, you're Pentecostal. I figured you'd be running by now. I'm sitting here in my mind preparing for this. Oh, this is going to, this person, oh, she's going to stand up. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Alan Dye's going to be running all around this, doing a Jericho march. Come on, how many remember those days back in the day? I know. It's so funny, the other day, I don't know where I'm going with this, but it's going to be fine. I'm going to say it anyways. It's Wednesday night. I was having my hair cut over here at Supercuts, right? Because I'm cheap. But anyways, some of you beauticians are like, yeah, you need to come to my office. Let me take care of that wig. Anyways, my wife tries. You can't do anything with ugly. But anyways, I remember sitting there and the lady goes, so what do you do?
You should never ask the pastor what he does.
What do you do? I'm like, do I want to talk shop right now? And I said, well, I'm a pastor. Where are you a pastor at? I'm one of the pastors down at Grace Assembly of God. Oh, we heard about that church. On Our Heroes, yeah. She goes, but you're Pentecostal, right? Well, I said, well, what do you mean by Pentecostal? She goes, you guys are crazy. I said, well, here's the good news. We had three snakes and two's living now. One died. I didn't say that. I'm kidding, Pastor Wayne. Hold on a second. Relax. It's okay. I was just... But we got to talking. I didn't say that. I was joking with you guys. Okay. That would have been funny. She probably looked at me like, what? No. Where's Clyde? Clyde, where you at? No, I'm just kidding. But we begin to talk, and then all of a sudden, she began to open her mouth and say, here's the situation that I'm in. I'm going through this trouble, through this trial. And you know what? I said, hey, here's my email address. Here's our church email address, our website. Go check us out and come and see us. Yeah, they haven't been here yet, but I'm praying that they'll come. But here's the thing. People are crying out for God. And God is waiting for you to say, hey, he's calling you. Come to him. When blind Bartimaeus got to Jesus, what did Jesus do? He looked at him and says, what do you want me to do for you? And we know the story. The scripture says this. Jesus, he asked. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to what? See. Then verse 52 says, go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. In Mark 10, verse 49, let me just show you what it says from the King James. And Jesus stood still and commanded him. I want to tell you tonight that crying stops Jesus. Crying stops Jesus. When he sees his child crying out to him, fervently crying out to him, not worried about what everybody else thinks, not worried about, you see, you kind of look at blind Bartimaeus. What did the scripture say when he went to Jesus? He took his cloak and threw it aside. Maybe his cloak was his security blanket. Maybe his cloak was everything that he had, but he threw it aside and says, I want all of Jesus. And he went to Jesus, and he was healed. But the scripture says Jesus stood still. Tonight, what do you need from the Lord? What is it that you need from the Lord? I feel like the Lord is telling me to say, cry out to him and tell him what you need. Listen, it's good for you to come up and have a person to pray over you. But this is between you and God. God is saying, what do you need? Blind Bartimaeus was an outcast. He wasn't in the circles. But Jesus heard his cry because he heard desperation. He heard someone that needed a healing. Someone who was not worried to cry out to him and say, Lord, I need you more than anything else. Let me see. Psalms 56 verse 9 says, when I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies what? Turn back, this I know, for God is what? For me. Everybody take your hands. All right, I want to be like children's church. Take your fingers and put on your chest. God is for me. Well, I can't sing very well. No, God is for me. Well, I don't have the nice clothes, popular clothes. God is for me. He's for you. He knows your name. He knows how many hairs that are on some of your heads. Sorry, Dr. Brackett. But listen to me. God is concerned with you. Listen to this. Psalms 34, verse 15. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Do you want the eyes of God to be upon you? Do you want the ears of God to be listening? Then cry out to him if you know him and you're his child. Maybe someone told you tonight that your case is hopeless and helpless. Can you cry? Maybe sin is trying to tear you apart tonight. Can you cry? Maybe fear is paralyzing you. Can you cry? We need men and women to cry, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now I want you to stand to your feet. Come on, Pastor Steve, better get up here. All you guys get up here and get ready. What is it do you have need of tonight? What is it that you need from God tonight? Don't stand there and say, oh, everything's cool, Pastor Jason. No, listen, we have a great need. We need our country to turn back to God. We need our young people to be energized by the Holy Spirit, that they will not be ashamed to take the gospel into their schools. We need some of you to get on fire for God like you used to when you first got saved. We need some of you to shake out of the comfort that you've got yourself into and step into new ground that God has for you. We need some of us to get on fire for God in these last days and say, God, okay, if you love me and you care for me, I want to stand up and be your last day remnant. I want to stand up and be that one you can count up. Oh, yeah, Lord, I can't speak very well or sing very well. It's okay. God says, I want you to do what you've called you to do. And let me say this. Go ahead, Pastor Steve. Just go ahead and play. Let me say this. One of the things that just goes over and over, the Bible says that the harvest fields are ripe. They're ripe and ready, right? The fields are ripe. So many people think, oh, for me to serve God or to do anything for God, I got to be full-time working in the church. Let me tell you something. The field is ready. What do they tell kids when they go to college? What field are you going into? So tonight I want to tell you, your field is whatever God has placed you in at this moment. If it's a dentist office, that's your field. If it's a school, that's your field. If it's a business, that's your field. If it's a church, that's your field. Wherever you are, the harvest is ready. And God is waiting on you and I to do our part and say, okay, God, I'm going to cry out to you. Indwell me with power so that I can serve you. All right, God, the doctor gave me a bad report. I'm going to cry out to you, God, like never before. People might say, you need to be quiet. You're a crazy person. That's okay, because when you have nothing else, you need God. It don't matter. Are y'all with me? Here's what I'm going to do as far as an altar call. If you have something that you have need of, I want you to, by faith, to step out and say, I'm going to Jesus. Because I want you to know tonight, Jesus is calling your name. What do you have need of? I want you to fill these altars. If you have a need, step out. Come on up here. Come on, if you have a need, don't stand back there. God is waiting to do something great for you.